We now return to the mean streets of Big City with our special season finale of The Smoker. So prick up your ears as Private Ear Audio Theater opens the vault once more and lights up with The Smoker.
My warning, villains. Crime is Satan's henchman. Heed the smoker.
The makers of Camelot cigarettes proudly present another spellbinding tale of justice at the hands of the smoker. Deep within the heart of uncharted Arabia, Lambert Prince, dashing young editor of the Daily Beacon, stumbled upon the fabled gardens of Babylon. There he learned to roll his cigarette, whose secret ingredients transformed him from flesh and blood to living smoke. Today he haunts the city streets, aided by his feisty star reporter, Virginia Dale, waging a relentless war on crime as the smoker. Tonight's drama, Crime Warp.
Horace, Boris, sit her down, strap her in, roll on one. Shelley Victoria Carver, you have been condemned to die by a jury of your peers for the murder of Lorenzo Tickles Mandini, a sentence imposed by a judge in good standing in the state. Have you anything to say to those who have come to witness before your sentence is carried out?
My last words, so to speak. Yes, Warden Knox, I do have something to say. This country is afraid of what I am capable of, afraid of where science can take it. The only crime I've ever committed is the relentless pursuit of knowledge. But I have made peace with my fate. I was never respected in life, but in death I will live on in those who believe in my work and continue it.
I sincerely doubt that, Dr. Dead.
Oh yes, Dr. Dead. The lurid title imposed on me by that meddling reporter, Virginia Dale. Do not try to hide, Miss Dale. I see you, third row, second from the left. Ironic, isn't it, to be inextricably linked with death when all I ever wished was to create life? Ironic also is the fact that the very force by which I wish to create life will now be used here to the opposing end.
If you're quite finished.
I am.
Good. Shelley Victoria Carver, electricity shall now be passed through your body until you are dead in accordance with state law. May God have mercy on your soul. Roll on two, Boris! Throw the switch!
Yes, Boris, throw the switch. Throw the switch and set me
free.
Pay
no attention to her.
Throw the switch and set me free!
What's happening?
I don't know, Warden. I pulled the switch like always.
Why isn't she crying? I can't see deadly through the... Sparks and smoke! Kill the juice, Boris!
Right! Warden?
Impossible.
Where is she?
It can't be. Shelley Carver's vanished.
Oh, you mean to tell me, Virginia, that they pulled the switch and poof, Dr. Dead disappeared?
I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes.
What a story! What a headline! There's your surefire prize-winning article, Virginia. Why haven't you thanked me yet?
For assigning me to an execution? Thanks, Lambert. Hey, I hear there's a new slaughterhouse opening next week. Why don't you sign me up for that, too?
The death penalty is just that, Virginia. An eye for an eye. I don't see anything wrong with it. And who better to report on the demise of Dr. Dead? She nearly murdered you when you tried to put her brains out in that Franken corpse of hers.
Mr. Prince, Ms. Dale.
Morning, Knox.
I'm sorry, but the press is not allowed on the premises.
But we were when you were killing someone? That's our criminal justice system, Lambert.
Big City Women's Penitentiary policy states that no one but the police may be on the site of a crime until the situation has been fully resolved.
So you believe a crime has been committed?
No. I simply meant that the police haven't given the area a thorough search yet.
But if there wasn't a crime, then what are they searching for? Do you believe Dr. Dead somehow escaped?
No one has escaped, Ms. Dale. The penitentiary's official position is that Dr. Shelley Carver was a victim of spontaneous combustion.
Well, hell? Slap me silly and call me sweetheart. Spontaneous combustion.
I concede it sounds outlandish, but it's the only phenomenon that can explain how she could vanish into thin air.
Well, great. She's dead, right? Good. No crime. Let's have a look around. Bernie!
Mr. Prince, I just informed you
that the execution was a success. Congratulations.
You called Mr.
Who is this?
Introductions, of course. Warden, meet Bernie Scrapples, the Daily Beacon's resident handyman.
Well, I'm really more of an inventor, Warden. Drew, I can fix your toaster quick as a gazelle. Not that the gazelles know anything about toasters, but, you know, actually...
Bernie?
Yes, Mr. Prince?
Go have a look around the electric chair. See what you can find.
Right away, sir.
Keep away from there. I'm warning you, that's private property!
Yeah, think he'll find anything before Ms. Mama Never Loved Me throws him out?
Of that I'm not certain, but the smoker doesn't buy her spontaneous combustion theory for a minute.
Yeah, neither does the Virginia. Something happened in this barrel of bad apples tonight, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Of the barrel?
Yeah. Yeah, the barrel.
Better make yourself comfortable, lady. This here's the last place you'll ever call home. Hey, Janice, wake up. You's got a new neighbor.
That's Dr. Janice. What's that?
You's got a new neighbor. You's heard of Bad Bessie Barrows, haven't you? The notorious bank robber?
Can't say that I have.
Well, she's been the talk all over town, and I guess you wouldn't have heard of her then, huh?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we had to transport her in the dead of night just to avoid the media frenzy. Just thought you should know we got a celebrity in the block, so play nice.
Mrs. Barrows?
What?
I'm Dr. Gail Janice. I'm your neighbor for... well, however long we have left.
What's that? Come closer, kid. I can hardly hear you with all this wall between us.
All right.
Say, are there rats in here? Besides the guards, I mean.
Oh, no, that's my wheelchair. The penitentiary isn't very generous with their oil.
Oh, wheelchair, huh?
Yes, you see, my legs never moved like they were supposed to, ever since I was a baby. My grandmother was the same way.
Well, that's a drag. Say, what's a sweet-sounding young girl like you doing on death row with us perverts and murderers, hmm?
Good night, Mrs. Barrows.
Now, don't you go being rude.
Rude?
Yeah, picking an old broad's brain in the dead of the night and then spitting back when she picks back.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
Janice, you say your name was?
Dr. Janice.
Yeah, I think I remember reading about you in the papers, Dr. Janice. What was it they called you? Ah, that's right, yeah, the Firebug Beauty. Killed your business partner in a deadly blaze, if I recall, right?
That's not right! The prosecution painted me as a ruthless killer, and the press jumped all over it. But that's not what happened at all. It was a terrible accident.
Accident, you say?
Yes. You see, for years, my partner Clark Duncan and I had been working on a new technology that would revolutionize transportation. We built two booths on opposite sides of our lab, our goal being to instantly transport a person from one side of the lab to the other.
Instantly? But that don't make a lick of sense.
Neither did airplanes before the Wright brothers flew over Kitty Hawk. But these teleportation booths would make airplanes as useful as a wax-wheeled wagon on a summer day.
Sounds like something out of Flash Gordon.
Sadly, there's little hope for it now. You see, we could get the matter to disperse in the one booth, but we were stuck on how to reform the molecules in the other. They just vanish into thin air. Then one night, I was working alone when I had an epiphany. Just a few small adjustments later, and I was testing the booths and using myself as a guinea pig.
Foolhardy filly, you could have been disappeared.
But I didn't. And because, before I knew it, I was in the other booth. Not only that, but I looked out the window and saw it was already dawn.
You don't mean...
I traveled 5 hours into the future. Through space and time.
Let's see Flash Gordon do that, huh?
Immediately, I called Clark to come down to the lab and try it for himself. But then something awful happens.
Let me guess. When he does, that contraption of yours starts spitting sparks and goes up like a wicker poodle.
I managed to escape, but barely, and Clark... Oh, poor Clark!
Oh. Poor thing. Then they stick you with his murder, too, huh?
The prosecution theorized Clark wanted to quit funding our research, and I orchestrated the blaze as some sort of insurance scam. It was ludicrous, but the jury lapped it up. Jury of my peers, indeed.
Well, that is quite a yarn, honey.
I've told it to dozens of reporters. I figured, what harm could one more do?
What? Was that reporter? No, I'm no ain't no reporter. No, I'm bad Bessie Barrows, the meanest thief in his battle.
You can drop the act already. Did you really think I wouldn't hear that some reporter bribed a guard to let her stay the night in Shelley's cell?
Well, I was kind of counting on it. Listen, my name's Virginia Dale, and I need
Look, I know what you need. You're trying to uncover what happened at Shelley's execution. Listen carefully.
Yeah?
Wherever Shelley is, whenever she is, no one will ever find her.
Well, isn't this a rarity? With all the hubbub going on, I can still manage a quiet morning in my office. I can read my paper, drink my coffee, and relax.
Lambert!
Mr. Prince!
You'll never believe it!
That sounds impossible!
But Dr. Dead turned our electric chair into a time machine!
What in blazes you two blabbing about?
With her cellmate, Dr. Gail Janice's knowledge of time travel, the penitentiary has easily bribed guards. The whole operation must have been a cinch.
In my examination of the machine itself, I found a power converter strapped to the bottom of the chair that must have taken the electric current that should have turned Carver into French toast and allowed her to waffle her way through time and space.
You two sound nuttier than a couple of nutcrackers cracking nuts for the express purpose of baking them into a nut loaf on Tuesday.
Tuesday?
The nuttiest day of them all.
Well, I know it sounds crazy, Mr. Prince. But the chair also had dials that seemed to indicate time, date, year, and geographic coordinates.
And when were they set to, Bernie?
It looked like sometime in May of 1828.
And the place?
Edinburgh, Scotland.
Edinburgh, Scotland?
Edinburgh, Scotland, of course.
Of course?
Of course. See, back in the early 1800s, there was all this turmoil in Great Britain's medical community. The demand for corpses needed for medical study was far greater than what the government allowed. Mm-hmm. And many doctors employed the services of body snatchers to rob graves and get the bodies they needed.
So, Dr. Dead's headed back to a time and place where she can get all the bodies she needs for her dastardly experiment!
Exactly!
And since when did you know so much about history, Virginia?
Well, back in college, they didn't call me Double Major Dale for nothing.
Oh. I always thought that was because of how you looked in a sweater.
No. No. No, I had a double major in journalism and history.
Oh. Well.
Yes.
Never mind that now. We in the jungle gym of justice must not abide Dr. Dead playing in the sandbox of time any longer. Bernie, can you jerry-rig the electric chair to do for me what it did for her?
I can give it the old postdoctoral try.
Then we're off to the prison, where I will sit in the electric chair, travel back to the 19th century, and find Dr. Dead so we can kill her in the 20th century.
Young millionaire Lambert Prince, not finding sufficient thrill in his weekly yachting excursions, has turned to publicity stunts in a desperate attempt to return his father's paper to its former glory.
That's outrageous!
You're telling me.
I quit the yacht club months ago.
Ugh, and that's just the City Sentinel. You should hear what all the other two-bit rags are saying. Lambert, is it really worth the Beacon's reputation?
Virginia, from the very first day I lit up as the smoker, I vowed to track down evil wherever it lives and bring it to justice so it can die. It's my responsibility to...
All right. Can't believe I'm saying this, but your time machine is ready. It's down the hall. Come on, both of you.
Thank you, Warden.
And I just want you to know one thing before this stunt gets underway.
Which is?
I don't like you, Prince. I don't like your face. The only reason I'm letting you go through with this is because I owe a favor to your pal, Commissioner Winston. You can fry in that chair for all I can. Frankly, I hope you do. Now get in there and get it over with. I'll be in my office.
Listen to that, Lambert. Usually it's not until the third date that you start getting death threats. Yeah.
If I ever get past three dates with any dame, Virginia, you can strap me to the electric chair yourself. For now, it's Bernie's turn.
Well, that'll do it. All set and ready to fry, Mr. Prince. Have a seat. Let me just strap you in here. And here. And here. And here. And here. And here.
Ow.
Okay. Next stop, Edinburgh, Scotland, May 1828.
And you're sure this thing will work?
No.
No?
Well, as Benjamin Franklin once said, you can only be sure of two things in this world, death and taxes. And time travel is neither of these things, unfortunately. But according to my calculations, if this does work, it will work something like a slingshot.
You mean Lambert's going to fall through time like a stone with limited range and accuracy?
No, I guess that wasn't a very good analogy. Let me think of it like a boomerang. Lambert will be hurled back in time, but eventually will spin right back to the present.
And how long will I have before I go all spinny?
You'll have 24 hours to find her, Mr. Prince. And if you want to bring Dr. Dead back, you're going to have to make physical contact when the boomerang effect takes effect. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Okie dokie. On the count of three, I'll throw the switch. One, a two, a...
Wait! Virginia.
Yes, Lambert?
I'm realizing now this may be the last moment of my life.
You always were a little slow.
If I die now, Virginia, I want you to promise me one last thing.
Anything, Lambert.
You know my beautiful Coupe de Ville? The one I never let you drive?
Of course.
Well, if I die, I want you
to...
Well, I want you to bury the keys with me because there's no way you're ever driving my baby when I'm gone.
All right, Bernie, throw the switch.
Okie dokie.
Gentlemen and ladies, we return to the smoker's thrilling adventure in just a moment. But first, let us listen in on a scene between a married couple as their evening comes to a close.
Yeah.
Didst you enjoy your hunting this day, my king?
Yea, my queen. A fearsome menagerie was felled by my hand.
How pleased I be to hear it.
Guinevere, my queen.
Yes, Arthur?
Whose pack of cigarettes be this on my nightstand? Yea, with an emerald serpent on the front.
Are they not yours?
Oh, Guinevere, you knowest I, Arthur, king of the Britons, hath always abstained from pleasures of the leaf.
Yea.
Then whose cigarettes art these?
Why, Arthur, they art mine.
Yours?
Yea.
But, Guinevere, I have never known you to smoke before.
I do.
But you bear no mark of the smoker's lung. No hacking, no wheezing, nor stinking of the breath.
Nay, Arthur, and I never shall.
You'd never know from smelling there's a secret that I've got. You'd never find no telling sign, that's why I'm never caught. No hacking cough, no yellow teeth, just mellow flavor and relief. You'd never know my secret, I smoke
relief, and here I thought you were sleeping with Lancelot. Yes, that's not the case. Yeah.
You never know my secret, I smoke Camelot.
Here, where you been? Effie, the beggar lady's still a drink in the downstairs room.
But Burke!
I come to you,
but Burke!
Don't get all squeamish on me now.
Burke, I found someone better.
Better than £4? Effie'll fetch at least that.
Aye, much better.
Where?
Behind you, on the kitchen table.
Oh, blimey!
He was just like that, filling the gutter outside, head to toe in grime and sludge.
Oh, toss him out!
But Bart!
You heard me!
But he's a prime age! Why, he'll bring us £20, he will, and methinks he's on his last! Of course, even if he is, that don't mean we can't expedite the process with a strategically placed pillow.
Is there dung in those ears or just between? Look at his clues! Try straight at his beggar woman! Rowing sailors be one thing, but smothering a well-to-do sort like him could cause a stir.
If he's so well-to-do, then why is he floating in the gutter?
He's probably coming off a bender his own. Look, I'll frisk him. Ah, there. Now, what would a gutter tramp be doing with a sterling silver cigarette case?
Stole it like as not.
Come at him. Now dump him where you got him and skip downstairs. If he's likely knotted off the cat by now.
Oh, Barak!
Do as I say. We promised Dr. Carver a stiff tonight, and by gum, she'll get one.
Barak!
Blimey!
He's starting to stutter.
Oh, on his last, you say. Well, why don't you just shake and stammer? Get the junk something to drink.
Aye.
There, sir.
Feels like my head spent the night under a jackhammer.
Come again.
It tastes in my mouth like a septic tank.
Good and squifty is. Listen to that rigmarole.
Give me that. A drink of water, sir, to clear the senses.
Thanks. Thank you.
Compliments of the finest lodging house in all of Edinburgh.
Edinburgh? Then the year is 1828?
Aye, as if any other could be.
Mighty fortunate we found you when we did. A gutter's nap's not the sort of thing every gent wakes up from. Of course, that's hair and me, dripping with the milk of human kindness.
Ah. Is that why you've got my cigarette case in your back pocket?
Oh, what? This? I was merely planning to shine it for you to get the grip off.
I'll take it as it is, thank you, and my watch, too.
Weren't no watch on you when I brought you in?
Hair.
Oh, will you look at that? Must have slipped off your wrist and onto mine when I hoisted you over my shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. Hell's bells and H.G. Wells!
Oh, something wrong, sir.
The shock of zooming through time and space must have knocked me out. I've only got 45 minutes until,
Until what, sir?
Listen, both of you, I know it's a long shot, but I'm looking for a dame. Dr. Shelby Carver.
Burke, it's just like she said.
Did you pardon him?
Oh!
He tends to flap his list less I smuck him shut for him. You were saying...
Oh, she's a crazed killer, more cold-blooded than a snake in a snowball.
Well, sir, it's a jolly good fortune you should warn us. Why, we were just about to visit the doctor ourselves.
To serve as her unwitting guinea pigs, most likely. You're lucky, boys. You'll never know the godless atrocities she surely would have committed against your bodies.
No. But you might!
Ow.
Jolly good hook there, Burke.
Hey, hold him down and keep him there. I'll get the pillow.
Please, Doctor, I beg of ye, let me go. I've never done you no harm.
I'm sorry, Miss Patterson, but I'm afraid you're far too valuable to my studies to be set free just yet.
But what a value can an old cripple strumpet be to a woman of science?
I will not condescend to explain the purpose of my lab to the rat. No, Miss Patterson, for you I have only pity, disgust, and the needle.
Oh, please, not again. Don't stick me with it again, please. It turns me every drop of blood to biting daggers. Squeezes me throat with iron fingers.
Oh, very vivid account. I will be sure to include it in my notes.
Ah! No! Ah!
May the 10th, 1828. Subject is strangely poetic today. A possible side effect of the serum. We'll ask her to write a blank verse sonnet once conscious. Abandon that brutish banging. I'm coming. Hurry inside. How often have I told you only a tapping at the door?
Oh, dozen pardons, Doc. But when two lads carry a body through the streets, they like the door to come open quick.
On the table there. I won't have you rousing the neighbors. It's hard enough to keep this walloping, wailing trollop under wraps.
Aye, you ought to pay us handsome then. See, we leave more quiet than we came.
Your compensation, gentlemen, will be in proportion to the quality of your goods.
Aye, and goodly goods they be, Doc. A bonny find.
Open the body bag.
Aye, here.
Where did you drag this corpse from, a funeral pyre?
Why, there's no corpse in here at all. It's just a lot of...
The smoker! But how did you find me?
Smoke can slip through any crack, Dr. Dead. Even the cracks of time.
Blimey! I've never seen a sight like it. He's shaped like a man, all right, but he looks like it came from the tip of a cigar.
He's a ghost. He has better come back from the grave to haunt us.
You're mistaken, Hare. How could I return from death when you never murdered me to begin with?
What does he mean?
I first met your conspirators in my corporeal form. It was then I told them I was looking for you.
Bungling buffoons, I ordered any stranger looking for me to be killed.
That was our original intention.
Until I promised my silver cigarette case in exchange for taking me to you alive.
Oh. Yeah. And speaking of which, hand it over.
You betrayed me for a piece of silver?
You know, I'm only just grasping the biblical implications of that.
Out, both of you!
Come on now, Jack. You were always planning to snuff him in the end.
Heed the smoker, Dr. Dead. Your time in the past has passed. In moments, I'll be back in the present, and you in the electric chair.
Oh, do not think me oblivious to the ways of time travel, Smoker. Taking me with you requires physical contact. Are you really willing to assume your corporeal form, reveal your true identity to me?
If it means bringing a ruthless killer to justice.
No! No, let go of your grip of me. I've come too far for this. My work must continue. Let go of my hand!
Not a chance.
No, this cannot be. Lambert? Lambert Prince?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. You're the smoker?
That's right.
But that's impossible. Lambert Prince is an idiot, a clueless, impotent hack, a spoiled, misogynistic...
Okay, you're surprised.
I would be less surprised if it turned out I was the smoker.
I don't see what's so hard to believe about it. Is it all the anti-smoker stories I've run in the Beacon?
Oh, no. I remember when you first started running those, I did think you might be the smoker. But then I thought, no, the smoker's a genius, and only an idiot would make such a transparent attempt at diverting suspicion. But now that I know that it's you, and you are an idiot, it all makes sense now to me.
Yeah, well... Idiot or not, you're coming with me.
Oh, wait, please. Apprehending me now will jeopardize all that I've accomplished.
All you've accomplished? I'll gladly jeopardize your crimes against mortality.
You know not with what you meddle.
I know a babe in bondage when I see her.
I'm trying to help her.
She's buckled to a butcher block.
For her protection.
If that's protection.
Look at her legs.
Come on already.
Look at them. They're malformed.
Like a pair of corkscrews.
I can fix them.
You probably made him that way.
Listen to me. In prison, I conceived of a serum. One capable of curing all hereditary birth defects.
That's enough, Stone.
That's why I'm here. That's why she's here.
Who?
Her, Mary Patterson.
Who?
Mary Patterson, the great-great-grandmother of Dr. Gail Janice.
Your neighbor from death row.
In order to cure any defect, the serum must be given to the first ancestor to suffer from it. Treatment has only just begun, but if it works, Mary Patterson and all of her descendants will walk.
Dr. Dead gave up reanimating to tackle birth defects?
During our time behind bars, Gail and I grew close. From the moment I learned of her plan to rescue me from death, I tried to find some way to thank her.
Your way of thanking Dr. Janice could one day help millions more.
Then let me stay here in Edinburgh.
But in the present...
In the present, I'm Dr. Dead, and here I can be Dr. Alive. Mr. Prince.
My head. It must be the boomerang effect.
You must let go of my hand.
I don't know if I should.
Oh, you must.
I'm confused.
Please, I've done too much work to go back now. Return to the present without me. If I failed, come back and get me. But if not, let me stay. Oh, give me a chance. Please, Mr. Prince, let go of my hand.
Lambert. Lambert.
I did it. I... Let go.
Lambert, wake up!
Dr. Dead?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Thank heavens, I'm back.
Back from where, you silver loony spoon? You never even left the chair.
Huh? Oh, of course I did.
The minute Bernie threw the switch, there were sparks everywhere, nearly shorted out the whole building. When the smoke cleared, well, here we are.
Sorry about almost killing you, Mr. Prince.
What happened? The lights dimmed in my office. Is he... Mr. Prince, not dead, I see.
Not by a long shot, Warden.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your little stunt will sell plenty of papers. I do trust you will skirt sensationalism just enough to report the truth in this matter.
Which is?
That Shelley Carver spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, I guess she did.
Now, if you'll all step aside, we have another execution to rehearse.
Dead woman walking.
Great
Googly moogly!
Right this way, Janice.
That's Dr. Janice!
Lambert, what's gotten into you?
She's walking.
Yes, she's also being executed tonight, if that's any surprise either.
Executed?
Yeah, you know, the death penalty, Lambert. An eye for an eye.
I do, Virginia. I do, but somehow it isn't like I remember it.
You have been listening to The Smoker, starring Jacob Troy with Katie Hartman as Virginia Dale. The Smoker is directed by Eli Taylor, with music by Nehemiah Luckett and sound design by Ian Benio. Tonight's transcribed story was by Wes Rhodes and was based on characters created by him. In the cast were Daniel Kelly, Aviva Laufer, Owen Scott, and Chet Siegel. Your announcer, Kevin Conroy.
No matter how the cards are cut, crime is a fool's game. Heed the smoker.
All the characters and places named are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. A production by Private Ear Audio Theater. This has been the Private Ear Radio Hour. Sound engineering for the Private Ear Radio Hour is by Jason Schreier. The new Duke Ellington Orchestra is Holly Fulton, Linda Kim, and Alyssa Mandela. The Private Ear Radio Hour is written by Cliff Benson, Daniel Kelly, Taylor Pavlik, Jonna Tarlin, Eli Taylor, and Ross Wade. You can listen to our podcast at www.privateear.org or download it free from the iTunes stores. Just search for Private Ear Audio Theater. Thank you all for listening. It's been such a wonderful season. If any of you are traveling over the summer, have a nice trip. We'll see you next fall.